here to introduce our speaker for this session. What can I say about this fine young woman?
Well,
I've known her for almost 15 years. She's grown up here in Alaska pretty much. And over that period of time that I've known her, I've seen her grow in the Lord tremendously. She loves the Lord. She loves and goes hard after the Lord. If you've met Stephanie, you know that she goes hard after the Lord. And I call her Superwoman because there's no challenge she won't try to put on her plate on top of everything else that she's doing. It scares me and half the time, but you know, I keep trying to rein her in. It's like, no, I can do it. And so she works full time in social services, has all kinds of crises that I can't even mention that she deals with on a daily basis that I can't, that I know I couldn't deal with. That when she gets home, it's just, you know, she's able to shift somehow. It takes a certain kind of person to be able to do that. And on top of that, she just completed her master's in counseling from GCU, Grand Canyon University, amen. Just flew down to Phoenix and saw her walk the stage. It was an incredible accomplishment, and proud of her for that. And on top of working, she's doing internship hours for a practicum, working 7 days a week for the next, you know, month or so. And so on top of that, doing a lot of things, she's written a book called Fullness of Joy. Let's just mention the joy that Jesus had. Fullness of Joy is the title of her book. When the wounds of your heart are filled with gold, this will bless you immensely. Once you pick it up, it's a very thin book. You won't be able to put it down until you finish. And so from the depths of her heart, she wrote this book, and it's an incredible story of healing your heart. And so it's an incredible, incredible read. And so last year, she also, first of its kind, spearheaded a conference that blended the community and the church together for sex trafficking. And so she deserves applause for that. And so she's a mother, and I'm proud to also call her my wife. And so the next voice that you will hear as she's coming, there's two bars of this song that was on my heart that I wanted to lift up a cappella here. Change me, oh God, make me more like you. Change me, oh God, wash me through and through. Create in me a clean heart, so that I may worship you. Change me, oh God, make me more like you. Change me, oh God, wash me through and through. Just create in me a clean heart, so that I may worship
so that I may worship you.
Thank you, husband. Thank you. Wow, what an honor. What an honor to be here before the bride today. For my sisters and brothers, I'm so blessed. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, over the last couple of years, I think probably when I started with BSSM, and that was in 2015, and that was a whole journey, that's a whole nother afternoon, getting there and going through the steps and walking through deliverance and revelation of who I was and who I am. One of the things that the Lord really prompted my heart with was abiding. And years ago, I think it was 2007, Jane and I, just my friend Jane, her and I have been on plenty of God adventures together, but we had picked up Bibles, new Bibles, and on mine, instead of putting my name, I put John 15:7. Because I was so hungry to understand, what does it mean to abide? What does it mean to abide? What does it mean to be in that place of oneness with him? And I was a single mom when I put that on my Bible. And to me at that time, and it still does, abiding means being so infused with him that there's no lack. There's oneness, total complete identity, total complete love. And so, you know, over the years, since BSSM, I really have been understanding what it means to abide. And when I wrote my book, Fullness of Joy, that came from a place of encounter, where I finally rested in that place of abiding in him. It's literally stepping back, being seated, and being in that place of encounter and oneness. So today, my sermon, I'm not going to call it a sermon. I'm just going to share, okay? But if it were a sermon, I would title it, When the Bride Abides. And it was so funny because all week these little sayings would come up. When the bride abides, she will unify and not divide. When the bride abides, she will not hide, but she will shine. And I kind of want to go down that vein right there about shining and arise and shine. You know, our conference is about coming forth as who you really are and stepping forward. Instead of being a single mother, that's your title is the bride. Instead of being a single father or being a journeyman or being, you know, someone who's formerly incarcerated, your title is to shine because you are the bride. So arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Wow. Liz, when you were talking about Jesus stepping forth into that new day and the glory of the Lord shining off of him and onto the people that were there, that were witnesses, and Mary's life was forever changed because she stepped into a new day. Wow. 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 A new day. A new day. The glory of God has risen upon you. This speaks to your royal identity as to who you are. You know, the world would try to confuse you, would try to manipulate your brain and what you see and what you think. The world would try to disconnect you from your heart and disconnect you from connection with other people's hearts. The world would try to make you think, oh, you're a liberal, so I can't have anything to do with you. Oh, sorry, I didn't know that. Joking. So, but really, it's about being connected. Abiding is about being connected, and that's what the bride does. She stays connected and she abides. The meaning of the word abide, I find this fascinating. It means to remain and to continue and to stay. It means to endure, sustain, and withstand. To wait for, wait, to accept without opposition or question. When we look at, and also it means it's an act in accord with, not opposition with. So when we think about abiding, think of this. You are in accord with your Heavenly Father. You're in accord with Jesus, right? With the branch, with the vine. We are the branches, He's the vine. We're in connection with Him. In John 15, we read where Jesus gives the instruction to abide. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it would be even more fruitful. You know, you have to prune the branch in order to get the cluster. And we've been talking about that. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This reminds me of Eleanor, I'm gonna highlight you and your husband Robert and how you guys, you know, when I first started talking with Eleanor and Robert and we started talking about this conference and everything, and they were like, we only want to do what our Father is saying to do. Yeah. We don't want to go outside of that. Yeah. We only want to stay right there. Sherry is the same way. Sherry's like, you know what? I have heard from the Lord, and I know that I'm supposed to participate in this. But it was about remaining and listening and being that conduit. Does that make sense, you guys? Okay. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You know, the bride is found in countless times in the scriptures, the word bride. But the two that really caught my heart were these. John 3:29, and it says, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom awaits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. In Revelation 22:17, it says, the spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. And we are thirsty. We wouldn't be here on a Saturday afternoon after lunch if we were not thirsty and hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry people. Because we have seen that the world cannot satisfy us. The world cannot satisfy us. You know, the bride adores the groom. And when you think about the bride, when she's walking down the aisle, and she's walking towards her groom, she is full of adoration and full of love. And she is just, wow. There's my groom. There he is. And that's Jesus for us. He's waiting for us. And he sees us. And we're walking towards him as the bride. As the bride. This morning I woke up and I was thinking, and all of a sudden I had the thought, the Holy Spirit told me, Jesus paid the ultimate bride price. Yes. And then I started to remember, you know, back in ancient times and even not so ancient times, there would be a bride price. If you wanted to marry a family member's daughter, you would have to pay in cattle, money, something you were going to have to pay. But Jesus, cattle, camels, dates, raisins, I don't know, furs, yeah, right? What? See? Was what he said? Okay. Whew. All right. So, but he paid the ultimate price with his life. With his life. I remember being, it was in my first year at BSSM, and I had this encounter where I was walking up this hill, and it was dry and airy, and I could feel like the desert heat beating across my face, and it was windy. I was walking up this hill, and then I saw the three crosses. And then as I got closer, I saw Jesus. And then I got closer still, and I looked up. And as I looked up at him, he looked down at me and smiled. And then it was the revelation that he endured the cross because it was going to be joy that he was going to encounter. It was the promise of joy. And so it was his joy to endure the cross for us. He wanted to pray to pay that bride price for us. As the bride, we need to set our faces towards our groom. We need to set our faces towards Jesus. And to do this, this is abiding, okay? This is abiding. And it's interesting because right now we're in a very interesting place in history, in an interesting place in our lives, in our state. The most important thing that we can do is stay connected, right, to the vine. Like I said earlier, the world wants to say, no, Christina, don't look at Jesus. Look at this problem over here. But if we stay connected to the vine, he's going to give us the solutions. The bride knows, right? The bride will be able to steward the word of the Lord from her heart because she's connected. There's this connection. You know, the bride is also motivated by her heart to love. And there's an awakening happening to the heart of the bride. There's an awakening happening. You know, like I was talking about, I don't mean to talk a whole lot about the distractions and everything, but it seems like that sometimes that we get tripped up with that. I know, you know, Michael, my husband, was mentioning how I work in social services and I see stuff that I would probably not want to see ever. And if I didn't stay connected, I would get lost in that system because it is a system. And I need to stay connected to the vine so that my mind stays clear, so that I can speak the word of the Lord at the right time, at the right place. to the people that I'm ministering to. Even though it's work, I'm ministering to these little children. I'm ministering to these adults who are lost, right? But it's about abiding. We have to abide. We have to abide. The heart knows the truth of who Jesus is. The heart also knows who we are as sons and daughters of God. The heart knows. We have been, I want to say we've been tricked into thinking that our heart doesn't know anything, that we can't really trust our heart. We've been tricked. Our heart knows the truth. Our brain stores information. Our brain stores information. Our body stores information, trauma, information. But our heart knows the truth. And our heart desires to keep us connected. And we think that we can engage God through our brain. But our brain will deceive us. Because of our past. It's almost, if you could think of your brain that stores like all these little memory chips. And so when something comes our way and triggers an emotion, we're like, oh, okay, I remember this. It's going to go just the way it used to go. But God is saying, let's engage heart to heart on this. Because it doesn't have to go the way that you're used to having it go. Right? Is everybody doing okay? Amen. So here's a fun fact for you. Did you know that the human heart carries an electrical current, like a pulse, like a current, right? And that current can reach anywhere from 8 to 10 feet out. Some people say it's immeasurable. And that's why when you can walk into a room, and sometimes the room feels like, uh-oh, you're literally picking up somebody else's, quote-unquote, vibe. It's a scientific fact. But can you imagine that if you allow your heart to be full of love, that if you allow your heart to abide, right, to stay in that place of constant communication? I'm going to grab your hand, Jane. If we just stayed like this, and we just abided right here, back and forth, back and forth. And if we didn't disconnect. So when things seem like resistance, right, we need to stay connected. Does that make sense? So when that's how we abide, right, that's how we abide, is stay connected. When we come across even though there's no difficult people, I'm making a declaration, there's no difficult people, right? No, really. I mean, if we stay connected, then we are abiding. Once we make the choice to disconnect because of what our brain tells us, once we make that decision, we step out from abiding and we step out on our own. Does that make sense? So all of this to say that as we lean into who he is and trust his good name for us, we can set our gaze, our attention towards him. It's about adoration. It's about setting our hearts towards him. It's about setting our gaze on his beautiful face. It's about grabbing his hand, holding the hand of Jesus, and letting him lead us into green pastures. You know, the scriptures say that we were meant to go in and out and find green pastures. That only happens through abiding. There's grace, though. We have grace because we can be out there spinning out of control, and God still says, come on, come on, honey. Come on. And it may be an opening where we say, okay, I hear you, Lord, and we go. Right? Because his love for us, he loves us so much. But he desires for us to live in this place of fullness. You know, if we live down here, we'll miss it. He wants us to come up. He's saying, come up, daughter. Come on. Come on, honey. Come on, sweetheart. Come on. I'm up here, baby. It's okay. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Eleanor, I thought it was so timely when you mentioned the oil lamps and the virgins and the light and carrying the light. And, you know, I believe that that really has to do with abiding and with being responsible and stewarding the Holy Spirit that's within us. So I'm going to read you just a short couple of paragraphs. Before I do that, how about if everybody put your hand on your heart? Say, Father, I love to abide. Father, disconnect me with anything that's trying to hinder relationship with you. I love you so much, Lord. For me to become illuminated would mean that I would shine forth in this world so consumed with his love that when you looked at me, you would see only him. This has a daily process of transformation, and I do mean daily. There are days that when I wake up, I have to remind myself that I am being transformed and molded into the person I was meant to be. I remember being in a meeting where I began to see in my mind's eye a future version of myself and what I looked like. And this was one of Liz's meetings when an impartation of understanding who I am came to be. I literally saw myself as a woman carrying light in my hands with light coming forth from my body. This image of me carrying the light automatically took me to the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And that parable says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars. Along with their lamps, the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Now, mind you, they all became drowsy. Okay, all of them. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied. "There may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is why it's important for us to keep our gaze on the Lord, not on the things that are going on in the earth. Even though he's giving us wisdom on how to pray for things and how to overshadow things and take dominion, we are not to be consumed with those things. So when we see that the 5 of the virgins had oil with them and that these 5 were considered wise, it helps us to understand that in a practical sense, we should ensure that we always have oil and with us and that we are prepared. But after this vision of my future self, God showed me that I was a light bearer. The oil should always be used to keep the flame burning. Since the oil represents the Holy Spirit and the flame represents his light that dwells within us, we are the ones who are responsible for keeping the fire burning. We're responsible to steward that. But how do we do that? We have to abide. We have to keep our focus on him. He's the main thing. Nothing else is important. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. We have to keep our gaze on him because nothing else matters. Nothing. It may feel very important, but in the grand scheme of everything, it doesn't matter. His gaze in that connection to him and to one another is one of the most important things. So since I was really little, Tanner, can you come and play for just a couple seconds? Since I was like really little, I used to love certain Christmas carols, but not all of them. I think I loved like the Little Drummer Boy. I loved that one, right? Because it was like this passionate little story of this little boy coming and he's bringing his drum, and who knows if that was true or not. I don't know. But he's bringing his drum, and I'm like, yes, I know Jesus, right? And so I loved that one. But the one that I loved the most was "O Come, Let Us Adore Him." And I still sing that even if it's not Christmas. I sing it all the time because it gets me recalibrated, you know, because we're like over here, or then we might be over here, but then once we set our gaze in our heart, right, we then become calibrated to this place. It's like, oh, true north, here we are. Okay, I'm here, Lord. I'm present. I'm with you, Lord. I'm with you. I'm abiding. So I'm going to read the words to you, and then we're going to sing it together as a declaration that we are setting our gaze and our adoration towards our King. Okay. Let me read them to you first. It says, "O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. Christ the Lord. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. Christ the Lord." So let's stand up. It is good news. It's good news. He alone is worthy. It's good news.